Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SEL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Hi everybody and welcome to SEL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, I hope everybody's had a great week. The weather has finally turned here in Gosport in Hampshire, in the south coast of the UK. And we've actually had some blue skies over the last couple of days for the first time, it feels, in about 6 weeks. The grass was up to our knees in the back garden, so I cut that last night. I've got no idea what it... Excuse me, I've just been drinking a glass of Pepsi. Well, no idea what it would be like down the allotment, but the weeds will be rampant, and it will be... we'll have a lot of work to do down there, but hey... It's all good fun, isn't it? So, what are we going to talk about this week? Well, I'll go through a little couple of things I bought at the car boot this morning. And then, I thought, if you don't mind, what I'd like to do is talk about the photo assignment we've been working on, Recession, and setting a new photo assignment for the next couple of months, because we're already... What is it? What's the date today? It's already the 13th of May, isn't it? Gosh, 2 weeks behind. So this will be for the whole of May and the whole of June as well. Forgive me if I'm prevaricating and just... What I'm doing is I've been having terrible trouble with my laptop. I'm using this really old microphone and sometimes it gets really buzzy. And so I play around with it, and what normally ends up happening is I make everything worse. I've just had to restart it, and before I started recording the podcast, I completely forgot to load up the show note and the Flickr photo group, so I can look at the photos, so I can talk about them. So let's start off at the beginning with what I got from the car boot this morning. But just hang on a second while I just click on this link to bring it up. Ah, there we go. Right, I'm good to go. So yes, got up really early this morning because it was a beautiful day yesterday, so I knew the car boot would be very busy. Well, Suzanne then. So she dragged me out of bed at quarter to six this morning. I'm just going to have a yawn there. It's now 9:10 in the evening after a hard day at work. So, went to Bridge Mary. Very good. Very, very busy. Great. Wandering around. And lo and behold, what did I come across? But a Fujifilm Instax 100 instant camera for the grand total of, I think it was £3 I paid. Either £3 or £2. And I did the obvious thing, so I checked the battery compartment to make sure it wasn't all fuzzied up. And it also came with a packet of film. 10 shots. Now, this expired in 2003. So I don't know whether it'd be any good. But as I've already got an Instax 100 film, I've thrown it on eBay to go towards the... well, there's a couple of things I could really do with, that I'd do with, you know, with photography's hobby, isn't it? So stuff I'd really... Not that I need, but I want. A 50mm 1.8 again. So I got rid of mine last year. Well, sold it because we were a bit skint. And some lens hoods as well for my 18-55 and 55-200. But anyway, we'll see. Get a few pounds for it. Now, the other thing I got, which were amazing, which is probably could turn out to be one of the best bargains I've ever got from the car boot sale. Not in terms of buying something to sell, but in just something to use, was Suzanne called me over to this other stall and said, quick, come over here, there's camera stuff on this stall. So I wandered over, and there was these two young guys, and they were selling lots of electronic stuff. But also, I noticed a flash. And it was a, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, but it's a Yongnuo flash. That's Yongnuo flash. And it's a YN460-2. Which is, I've done a little bit of research on the internet this afternoon when I came home from work. And these are budget flashes. Not known for their ultra reliability, but what they're good at is they have they only work in manual mode, but they do have variable power, so you can turn them up and turn them down, which is a big improvement on the old film flashes I've been using with my wireless kit. They also have a fully tilt and swivel head, and they also have two slave modes, so you can use them as a standard slave, where the flash will pop when it sees one flash, but they can also work in TTL slave mode, which doesn't mean that they work with TTL metering. What it means is the flash will fire on the second blat of the TTL flash from the camera. So I was like, so I didn't know this at the time, but I just knew, I thought, these look nice. And as soon as I flipped them over, I saw the variable power on the back. I thought, this is just what I'm looking for, variable power flashes for doing off-camera flash work. So I said to the guy, I said, how much? He said, a tenner. And I was like, So then, the problem is, when something's too cheap, though, you're like, it can't be what I'm looking for. But I thought, no. I've heard the name Yongnuo before. So I thought, all right. So, and he said, I've got another one. So I said, you got two? He says, yeah. He said, I'll get it. Pulled this other flash out. And I thought, and I had £20 burning hole in my pocket. I said, tell you what, mate. I said, I have both of them. Now, at this point, I've passed my money over, and they're in boxes. They're nice. I had a quick look to make sure they weren't damaged or anything. And I'm like, oh, brilliant. But I didn't know if they worked or anything. Kind of got home after we'd gone to the car boot sale up in Titchfield as well. Got home, threw some batteries in them, test fired them both, and they both fired on the test button. Through my JJC wireless flash system on the bottom, and they fired then as well. Put one on top of my 350D and it fired then as well. So for £20 I've got two variable power Yongnuo speed lights. And when I was thinking about it at work, I was thinking, oh, it'd be great to have another one, wouldn't it? It'd be great to have three, so I could do a three flash setup. And then I thought, well, I have, because these have got optical slaves in them. So what I can do is I can put my JJC wireless transmitter on the top of my 350D, use that to trigger my old Jessup's flash and my old Miranda flash. When they go pop, I can the optical bit will then trigger the two Yongnuo flashes, which I can vary the speed on. So in effect, I can have an off-camera four-flash system, which I think is, God, that's brilliant, isn't it? Hey, I'm going to turn into the strobist. But one thing I do know is from playing around with off-camera flashes, it's a lot harder than it looks. Because what I've found is that little speed lights, little flashes, can produce really harsh light when you're inside. You need to have quite a lot of fill. You need to have reflectors or diffusers. Well, a reflector to reflect light back into your subject's face, or a diffuser to make the light source bigger. But I'm really looking forward to playing around with these. I'm so chuffed that I've got these two flashes that will work with my JJC wireless system, but because they've got this optical slave capability. Now, as I said, I've done a bit of research on the internet, so that they don't come across as the most reliable long-term flashes. But, you know, I'm careful with my kit, and they feel nice. So there we go. Watch this space for some reviews as we go along. Other things that I've been doing, if you look on robinonphoto.com or the YouTube channel, Scale Speeder, just search for YouTube and Scale Speeder, I've done some Google Nexus videos about the camera on the phone, and the Instagram app as well, and I've done one about vignettes, which is if you've got an Android phone, Vignette, the paid version of Vignette, is a really good photo app because it allows you to edit your photos in full resolution on your camera. It doesn't make them any smaller like most of the other photo editing apps do, including the built-in one for the Google Nexus, which I was a bit gutted about, to be honest, because it's got this really good built-in photo editing app where you can straighten photos, which is quite unusual. If they're slightly off, you can straighten them up, but once you've saved them, bang, it makes them half the size. So I was like, oh, that's no good, is it? Because I know for sharing on the web and sharing in Instagram and stuff like that, you don't need full-size images, do you? Especially when you're looking at them on a mobile phone, but I just like to have full-size images, you know. But there we go. Forgive me if I yawn, because I'm quite tired of this now, but I'm going to crack on. And first we're going to have a quick break and a word from our sponsor, GoToMeeting. Because with colleagues working from home or travelling for business, getting everyone together for a meeting can be an impossible task. I have the solution. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Your team can meet face-to-face while online, no matter where they are. It takes only seconds and it's so easy. GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. Now you can even participate on the go using the built-in camera on your iPad. Just download the free GoToMeeting app to join. I've enjoyed using GoToMeeting in the run-up to having them as a sponsor. Basically, we got to do some test meetings. And it's a conference call where you're using your laptop or your iPad or your desktop. Where you're talking over VoIP, sort of like Skype, but you've also got the person's face who's holding the meeting in front of you, and they can see you as well, and you can also see their laptop, their desktop, so you can see the plans, the pictures, etc. they're working on. Now you can start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting, and all my listeners can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Make sure you use the promo code PODCAST over at GoToMeeting.com. Thanks to GoToMeeting for sponsoring the SCL Photography Podcast. So, we have for March and April, we had the assignment of recession, and I'm pleased to say there's been some absolutely great work going on over at the Flickr Photo Group. Remember, if you haven't joined Flickr already, it's free. Come on over. You can put your photos in the pool. You can take part in the assignments. And it's not about competitions. It's just about perhaps trying something new, something you wouldn't do of before, maybe giving you some ideas. So the idea with the recession assignment was just in and around town or city or country, post a photo that speaks to you about recession. It might be the fact that the bad side of the recession, or it could be new businesses that are popping up to fight the recession, or maybe something like that. So first up, let's have a look at the first photo, which is by Joe Alfano, also known as Eka Joe on Flickr. And he says, "Here is my place of employment up to 2 weeks ago. After being a store manager with this company for almost 9 years, the party's over. More than the recession did it in, but it surely did not help." And we've got this picture of an empty, well, it could be a warehouse now. The only thing that gives it away are the sort of coloured carpet on the floors and the nice bright walls. And it's kind of, you've got this, it's a real poignant image, you know. It's speaking to you of emptiness. I guess Joe's used some sort of panorama to get all this image in. It's a big part of the recession. It's so many people have lost their jobs. It's really terrible. But a nice image. And with the description helps as well, definitely. And I'm kind of coming to this conclusion a lot now that, you know, a good description really does help a photograph. Especially if you're trying to tell a story. I know you could say, well, the photo should be good enough where you don't need to have a description, but I think sometimes you do, and it adds more to the picture. Next up, we have Luke Moore, known as Spotmatics on Flickr, and he says, "This shop used to be selling glasses, I guess. From French, it translates to the perfect vision. It's closed, even though even more people are wearing glasses than before, I think." And we've got a black and white image. Again, we've got bay windows, a traditional kind of shop front on a high street. It's empty. You know, and in the UK, it's terrible. You go down to Gosport High Street, and they're all either shut down shops, coffee shops, pound shops, or charity shops. Speaking of me, I went over to Newgate Lane and took the Focus. Were a large DIY store in what we would call sheds out or out of town superstores, you know, big warehouses that are shops, and they shut down with I've actually written it down. Here's what was the local focused DIY superstore. They closed their last 120 stores last year, including this one on Newgate Lane, Fareham. And although it was last year, the fact that it's still empty now, nobody's come along to rent the space or buy the space. And what I tried to do was give the impression of the fact that this store, I can't remember if it ever been that busy. It has this huge car park in front of it, a really massive car park. And so I went with a wide angle lens, got down low, and tried to use the leading lines of the car park white lines to lead you into this old store. But I think the problem with that photo is you might not know that the focus had shut down. It might just look like an empty car park. And then as a comparison and a contrast to this, in the same sort of retail park on Newgate Lane in Fareham, there's a really busy builders merchants, and they have all these cherry pickers that they have. And what they do is, when they're parking them up, they actually put the cherry picker bit, the top bit, up, so they all look like these dark kind of modern dinosaurs with their necks all extended. And I kind of didn't want to do like a traditional landscape shot, but you got all of them in. I wanted to get in close with a telephoto lens and try and pick out almost an abstract type of composition. Next up we have Tebow 9. Let's see if I can get their real name. Let's have a look. Doesn't list any real name, but Tebow 9, and we've got North East Lancashire has been rotting for decades. The North has been in recession for years. We're in a depression up north, east and west, no work before the banking crash. The valley that I live in was in the heart of the cloth industry and clogs. They went 30 years ago. Yeah, I mean, and this is, we talk about recession, don't we, and the fact that we've been in recession for the last few years. But As Tebow 9 says, some parts of the UK have been in decline for a long, long time, with the end of industrialisation, with successive governments' policy of not encouraging and helping industry and manufacture. Places like Lancashire and Yorkshire, which were hubs of the Industrial Revolution, where tens of thousands of people migrated to work in mills and factories producing textiles. When that work went, the people are still there, the towns are still there, but the work isn't there. And you can't just flick over to everybody working in leisure centres and stuff like that. It's the same in mining communities, where with the destruction of the mining industry in the UK, these towns and these people are still there. They moved there, 150, 200 years ago because of the work in the mines. And what's going to happen next? Well, in our Flickr photo group, we have Analogical, whose real name is Pete. And, I like this photo. Let me read the description first. It's the Hawkins factory in Northampton. The decline of UK manufacturing, and in particular boot and shoe manufacture, illustrate the decay of these buildings. And he's done some really nice black and whites. The first one is like a close-up of a door of GT Hawkins Limited. And what's poignant about this, it's the vacancy sign of this shut-down factory. We have vacancies for. And I like the position of it in the bottom right-hand corner. He's also used a bit of a Dutch angle, which is where you kind of lean the camera back a little bit and tilt it over. Think of the angle that, remember the old Batman series in the 1960s, kapow, kaplunk, all that sort of stuff. When the baddies came in, they were always at a Dutch angle. It puts the photo off kilter a bit and makes it feel a little bit, makes you feel uncomfortable as well. And the second one I really like is somebody walking past, pulling, this fantastic image is pulling what looks like a suitcase on wheels, and they've got a umbrella, and it's an old derelict building, They're all boarded up, the windows are smashed up. It's my sort of, you know, I tend to do lots of photos like this, which they're very blocky, they're very geometric, but again, one of the things I was trying to say to myself is that unless a photo's got a person in it, it's a little bit empty, and the fact that this has got a person in it really lifts it. Really nice photograph. Next up, we have the Taipan, whose real name is... Oh, gosh, I don't know. You can tell I'm doing this live, can't you? Open link in new tab. Simon Leonard, and Simon's done a couple of nice photos here, and you have two from a recent club photo walk. The first one is, it's a view towards, it's probably the back of a building somewhere, because there's a sign that says sprinkler booster, so it's some sort of access cupboard there, and then you've got maybe a couple of legs sticking out by some stairs, so maybe that it's a homeless person. And then we have this rather scrawny looking chap walking towards the camera along a street, again a nice black and white with a nice vignette. It looks like he's got a dollar bill or something in his hand. Again, I like this sort of photo because it's street photography. It speaks to us, doesn't it? It says, you know, can you empathise with this person? You know, how do you feel? So some good work there from Simon. Then from me, you've got a photo of a new Tesco that opened up in Fareham. What I was just trying to say here is, despite the recession, you do have these massive companies like Tesco in the UK, which is like Walmart in America, that's kind of eating the country. You know, there's Tesco's everywhere. And then underneath it, you've got a shop in Fareham as well, which is shut down. And again, this is, you know, it's a geometrical photo, black and white, and there's somebody walking past, which is the bit that fills out for me. Danny's B has now got, this is an older shot, but I wanted to post something. It does speak to the assignment. Winnipeg has areas that were very vibrant in the past are now considered troubled. This abandoned gas petrol station is a prime example. And we've got here night photography, superb, something I should do a lot more of. And it reminds me of those urban exploration type photos, you know, where people go inside old buildings, but this is outside, but you know, it's very eerie. You could also imagine a zombie coming around the corner, but you know, it's about recession and the fact that these, you know, who worked there, you know, people did, didn't they? People had their lives in these places. Next up we have let's have a look. Which is Ab van der Breggen. Ah, yes, know him well. And he's got, from a short trip around town, the first closed a couple of years ago and the building has not been used since. The second closed at the end of February this year and the third is closing doors at the end of May. It opened around the same time the first business shown closed its doors. So here we go. So we've got these larger, I'm not sure what type of shops they are, but they're definitely kind of sheds, you know, big stores. And they're all shutting down, you know, store closing. One thing I would say to everybody listening to the podcast who took part in this assignment, who's been taking these photographs, this is social history you've been doing here, recording these events for posterity. And one of the things I felt with this assignment was that it felt quite important as well. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a photojournalist, but to actually go out and take a photo of something that was happening in history that was important really meant something to me and kind of fired my desire to do some more of the same. So good work there. I like it. Then we've got Joe back. And what he's really doing here is kind of carrying on the story that he started off with about the fact that he had to leave his job, the place shut down. It was a Blockbuster video. You know, Blockbuster, I mean, how massive Blockbuster were, weren't they, a few years ago? We always used to go in, didn't we, and get our DVDs or our VHS tapes before there. But with the coming of, you know, the internet and downloading videos, or, you know, I mean, here, for example, in the UK, when you go and get your shopping at Tesco or Asda, they've got an entertainment section with videos, well, not videos, but DVDs and Blu-rays that you go. I mean, I haven't been into a Blockbuster video in a long time as well, so there's one of our group who's personally felt the recession in a very personal way. I mean, I know we've all felt it in terms of relatives, and maybe other people have lost their jobs as well, but I know we've felt it definitely in our business. And the fact that things get more expensive in a recession, things don't get cheaper. You know, if companies are selling less of stuff, it has to be more expensive, doesn't it? And we've also had the fact that food prices are going up, and generally, doom and gloom. So thanks for sharing that with us, Joe. I know it's very personal, and it really speaks a story. Next up, we've got Luke Moore, another couple of his images. A few more along the same lines, he says, but again, you know, these are businesses that are closed down. You know, think about in 20 or 30 years' time when people are looking at these photographs and saying, oh my gosh, that was what it was like in the early 2000s. You know, in 2012, all these shops were shutting down. And they may even go, isn't it quaint the fact that they used to have the idea of shops? The idea that you could go into somewhere and look around the goods and then buy it. Maybe then everything will be bought over the internet. And then we've got Janiel 45, who I guess is Neil G. And he says, this building was going to be developed into apartments. I think because of planning permission problems and the recession, nothing has happened for at least 5 years. I used my iPhone 4 with filters and frames for the camera app, from the Camera Awesome app by SmugMug. He's got a couple of nice photos of a building. And he's highlighting the fact that, you know, the best camera that you've got is the one that's in your pocket. And with apps like Camera Awesome or Instagram or Vignette, you can really add a certain something to your photos with the filters. What I like about these photos, especially the second one, again, it's very geometric. You know, it's all about shapes and form, black and white, nice side building, but you've got the angles as well, and they just appeal to me. I like geometry in photos, don't know why, I just do. And that's the last photo, so it's fantastic work, thanks to everybody for taking part. We were recording social history for that one, so it was good. And if you think about, want to take part in these photo assignments, please do, join Flickr, it's free. Just go to flickr.com, FLICKR.com, sign up, and then find the robnumphoto.com Flickr group. Just search in groups, or go to robnumphoto.com and follow the links, and you can take part. Which brings us nicely to the idea of, what are our next assignments going to be? Well, I thought that what we could do is, well, originally, the assignment was going to be from a blank canvas. And the idea was that, take a photo that starts off with nothing in it before you press the button. So a scene with nothing in it. The most obvious example of this would be a still life. So maybe it's a table with nothing on. And you introduce all the elements into that photo before you press the shutter. So it's your choice. Everything in that photo is your choice. The subject, the composition, how the light is, everything is up to you. It's not a random photo that you're going out and capturing. You're physically constructing the photograph. It could be a still life on a table, it could be against a wall, it could be out in the garden. It could even be like a plain landscape or a wall of a building, and then you introduce people or subjects to that. And the idea of this is, it doesn't really matter what it is, as long as you're constructing the photograph with your decisions. Which is normally just wandering around, for me anyway, and choosing different angles. But no, it's more than that, it's going round. And so that's kind of one of the assignments for the next 2 months. And I guess why I chose and was thinking about that one, because the weather's so bad in the UK, it has been. So it's been raining all the time, so I haven't been able to chance to get out with my camera. But, because the sun's come out over the last couple of days, I want another one. So we're going to have two assignments running at the same time, in the same Flickr thread. And the next one is called The Kiss of the Sun. And the idea with this photo assignment is, all that I want you to capture is some photograph, it's totally up to you what you do, but where light is involved, light and shadow. And you're really thinking about how light and the light falling from the sun is bringing a mood and a look to that particular image, that particular scene that then comes across in your photograph. It could be you combine the two. You know, maybe you have your still life next to a window where the sun is coming in. But again, if it rains for the next 2 months, a kiss of the sun might be quite difficult to do. So, you know, that's why I wanted to have from a blank canvas as well. So there we go, two assignments running concurrently for the whole of May and the whole of June. The first one, from a blank canvas, and the second one, the kiss of the sun. But I mean the sun in the sky, not like sun as in daughter sort of thing. Let's see what we can come up with. Right, well, thanks to everybody who took part in the last 2 months' photo assignment. Thanks to everybody who's been putting their photos in the Flickr group and putting comments on rubbingonphoto.com. Thanks to Everyday Jones, who do the intro and outro music on the podcast. You can find their stuff for free download at everydayjones.com. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from rubbingonphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr. Thank you.